You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Today is Friday, June 14th. I'm Michael Calhoun, our top local story. The city of St. Louis will establish a process for remote workers to request a refund of the earnings tax from the COVID time. This comes after a settlement was agreed to by the city and remote workers who paid the city's earnings tax and were denied a refund. Mark Milton represents the remote workers who brought the suit.
We reached a settlement with the city and the collector of revenue to forego appealing to try to get class action with the assurance that they would issue refunds to all teleworkers for days they worked outside the city going back to tax year 2020.
Employers who paid the payroll tax for their remote employees can also apply for a refund. St. Louis Mayor Jones has called a Monday afternoon press conference to discuss the city's long-term revenue. After months of trying and failing to find former St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, the Missouri Auditor's team tracked her down and interviewed her on Wednesday. Did she cooperate?
Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick says Gardner was cooperative and answered his staff's questions.
The report that I got from the audit staff was that she did answer their questions and that there was no pleading of the fifth that took place. And there may have been some questions where the answers were, I don't know, but I think for the most part, the auditors seemed satisfied.
Auditor Fitzpatrick did not shed light on Gardner's answers or the questions that were asked. However, he could not rule out the possibility of criminal charges potentially being filed against Gardner. Gardner was tracked down after her attorney contacted the auditor in response to them subpoenaing St. Louis University, where she worked on a nursing degree while serving as St. Louis Circuit Attorney. The report is expected sometime this fall. Sean Malone, KMOX News.
A 9-year-old boy riding his bike in O'Fallon, Missouri this morning died after being hit by a car. Lieutenant Jeff Cook says it happened at Harmony and Vine.
We're currently looking for any of the residents in that area, though we've done a canvas ourselves. There's not everyone is always at home when we're coming around. So we're looking with anyone that possibly witnessed the event that may have, you know, driven by as it was happening.
Lieutenant Cook says the driver of the car is a 19-year-old man who remained on the scene and is being cooperative. If you have any information, call O'Fallon, Missouri Police. The St. Charles County Fire Department is investigating a drowning in a pond near Walnut Hill Court. The victim, 44-year-old Darren Lamon Houston, had special needs. Fishermen saw him go into the water, but he did not resurface. Investigators believe the drowning is accidental, but the investigation is continuing.
But both Justice Alito and Thomas can spare themselves. They can spare the federal judiciary and our country from further humiliation by resigning right now.
Congresswoman Cori Bush, in addition to wanting those two justices to resign, wants Samuel Alito to recuse himself from all cases related to 2020.
We can't count on these men to do the right thing. This is why I, along with my colleagues, have reintroduced the Judiciary Act this Congress, a bill that would add 4 seats to the U.S. Supreme Court, bringing the bench from 9 to 13 justices.
Bush also wants a Senate Judiciary Committee to investigate Alito and, depending on what the evidence reveals, start an impeachment inquiry. The Battle Hawks won't be on the field for Sunday's UFL Championship at the Dome.
But St. Louis has its fingerprints all over this new spring league. The UFL's VP of Football Operations, former Dallas Cowboy Darrell Johnston, tells KMOX the noise from Battle Hawks fans made every team in the league adjust.
You know, this year our teams are learning how to do silent count during the week for the first time in spring football because, hey, we're going to St. Louis this week. They're going to make an impact, you know, when we're on that field and they can get that loud.
Johnston says it would have been great to have the Battle Hawks in the final and maybe get a sellout at the Dome, but that's not why the league chose St. Louis as the host. He says it was because the fans and the city earned it. Scott Jagow, KMOX News.
Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs showed off their glitzy new Super Bowl rings that sparkle with diamonds, rubies, and Tom and Jerry. The championship-winning team gathered inside the Museum of Art in KC to receive the jewelry that celebrates the victory over the 49ers in February. It features 529 diamonds, 38 rubies, totals 14.8 carats. The top of the ring opens up to reveal an inscription of Tom and Jerry, the nickname given to the winning play when Mahomes threw a 3-yard touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman. There's a movie being made here locally.
Mercury Films says crews are in the St. Charles area, including the Lindenwood University campus, shooting scenes for Greg's Going to Rehab. Writer-director Chris Lawing says it's a coming-of-age comedy drama. The title character, Greg, is a 16-year-old heavy metal fan struggling with addiction. Brad Choate, Camo X News.
As the news continues on KMOX, after months of failed attempts to call, track down, or serve Kim Gardner a subpoena, investigators with the Missouri State Auditor's Office finally able to get her to come in for an interview. How did things all come together?
State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick joined KMOX to discuss how they tracked her down. He says they finally found success after they subpoenaed St. Louis University, asking for records of Gardner's time there working on a nursing degree while simultaneously serving as the St. Louis Circuit Attorney.
As a part of that process, I believe that SLU was able to contact her and let her know about that subpoena in case she was going to object to it.
That's when they received a call from an attorney who represented Gardner.
An attorney representing her did reach out to us with concerns about that subpoena, and through that conversation, we were able to confirm that the attorney did, in fact, represent her.
Fitzpatrick says they then served the attorney. The
attorney was able to confirm that he had accepted service, and we were able to schedule the interview for Wednesday.
The auditor staff did not ask where Gardner was or if she was avoiding them. The auditor says their subpoena included the Wednesday meeting with Gardner, who cooperated and showed up.
She appeared as agreed the date that was issued, or the date that was included in the subpoena was fixed, and the location was fixed, and so they accepted service. They appeared.
Fitzpatrick says the former St. Louis Circuit Attorney was also cooperative during their interview.
The report that I got from the audit staff was that she did answer their questions and that there was no pleading of the fifth that took place. And there may have been some questions where the answers were, I don't know, but I think for the most part, the auditors seemed satisfied.
The interview with Gardner lasted 3 hours. We asked the auditor what was specifically discussed during the interview, but he declined.
I don't want to get out in front of the audit report and talk about any of the details.
Although he couldn't share the details of the interview, he has previously told KMOX some of the questions he had for Gardner were about decisions she made as circuit attorney and potentially improper expenditures. He couldn't rule out criminal charges resulting from the audit report.
Spending decisions that were not appropriate or that were in violation potentially of the city ordinance, but to the extent that those occurred and whether or not they were criminal in nature and if a prosecutor would charge those would be something that I can't really talk about yet.
So when will the audit be released? Auditor Fitzpatrick says we can expect it sometime this fall.
The report drafting process is a pretty lengthy process that involves several layers of review by the audit manager, the audit director, and ultimately myself.
Auditor Fitzpatrick acknowledges the attention this audit has received, but says he wants to be fair to Gardner.
Obviously, this is a very high-profile situation and a high-profile audit, and you know Kim is going to receive the same level of respect and the same level of review in terms of the audit work that we're doing as anybody else would.
He adds they want to make sure all their findings are presentable and backed by facts before releasing the report. Sean Malone, KMOX News.